Luke 15, verse 11. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Dad, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country.
If you can take a minute or so on meditating on this, you have lived at this home for years with your father, but lately you have gotten itchy feet. You feel restricted and want to see what the world has to offer. You ask your father for your share of inheritance. In a way, you are wishing that he was dead. And surprisingly, he agrees and you pack your bags to leave his presence. No longer will you know the intimacy of his company or the generosity of his presence.
In the distant country, he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything.
And I want you to close your eyes and imagine yourself in a distant land where you spend your money on parties, friends, and stuff that your father would not exactly be proud of. Before long, there is a severe famine in the land. How do you feel when your money runs out and your friends desert you? You wish you could experience the presence of your father, but you seem totally cut off from him. You could return home, home to shame before your father, to the shame of having to be fed by your brother, but you are willing to enjoy it. Instead, you do the unthinkable. You sell yourself to a pig breeder and long to eat pig's food. How do you feel?
I invite you to grab a piece of paper, take a pen, come take a seat here in front of this flip chart over here, and I want you to trace the path from me to Father.
When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And I am here starving to death. So I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father."
Finally, you have come to your senses. You cannot live like this anymore. You decide to return to your father. You're desperate. Maybe he will take you on as a slave.
As you finish and the pen meets up with Father in the middle, I want you to turn that piece of paper over and write on there or draw on there things that help you experience the presence of God in your life. What are those things that help you connect with God and draw you closer to Father? We're going to learn from each other in a few minutes, and if you can call out something, one of the things that you wrote down, and James is going to write it up on the flip chart over there. What is it that helps you experience God's presence? Someone? Uzo? achieving something that I ask God for, if I ask His help with it and I do it, it helps me relate and draw close to Him. Something else? Yes, sure. Knowing that I believe in God, that He's real, eh? That He's there. Someone else? Yes, Caitlin. Okay, can I call that ministry and service? So when you serve God in a place like Josie Kids, or maybe in a children's home, or maybe even at youth, some of you Friday night gave up your Friday night to lead small groups here, and you weren't part of the whole experience as much as others were maybe, and it could have been a God encounter. Another one? Yes. Singing and dancing? Yes. Worshipping, Nelly? Worshipping God? Another? Prayer, speaking to God? What else helps me experience God's presence? Christian music. Christian music. Anger. When prayers are answered. Being in a natural, peaceful place, kind of like out in creation, maybe at a river, where there's no distractions like air cons pounding at you and music that's not drawing you close to God. So getting away from distractions and busyness. Thanks for that. Yes. Practicing the word in my life, putting the word into practice. Very nice. Wow. Someone else? Lovely. Admiring God's creation. Receiving prophecy. Special announcement for 2 weeks' time. Every one of you are going to receive a prophetic word on Sunday morning. Having devotions every day, whether you're a morning person or not, but sometime in the day, sitting with a word, using soap as we learned Friday night. Someone else, was there another hand? See that hand? It's like surrender, acknowledging that I've given my life to Christ. It's not my life anymore, it's His.
But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Dad, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring a fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and let's celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate.
You feel so safe to be in your father's arms again. Suddenly you remember your prepared speech and you begin to say, "Father, I have sinned against you." But your father is not listening. He's too busy telling his servants to bring you sandals, a robe and a ring. You are given shoes. This means that your father will not let you be a servant. Servants walk barefooted while sons wear shoes. A fine robe is placed on you to show you that you are a full member of the household. And your father gives you the family ring. Do you realize the significance of this? After you have wasted half of his life savings, he's entrusting you with the ring that he uses in business transaction. Then you smell the roast beef And suddenly you are honored. You are an honored guest at your father's feast. You feel so small, yet so honored, so ashamed, but so happy to be with your father again. So unworthy, but so unconditionally loved. And right now I'll ask you to go back to your father's house.
Father God, we thank you that you are always with us, that we can always experience your presence. Thank you, Lord, for this journey that's reminded us of some of those things that rob us of your presence. But Lord, your presence is always with us. We thank you, God. Amen.
The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours has squandered his property with prostitute comes home, you kill a fattened calf for him." "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours."
Today has been our opportunity to look in maybe a fresh way at the presence of God in the vision statement. And here's what we've learned, I think, that the presence of God is always with us. Even when the prodigal is in this faraway land, that father was waiting, looking for him, preparing for the son to come home. And that's a physical human father. How much more a spiritual being like Heavenly Father, who exists everywhere all the time. All of God is present everywhere all of the time. And that makes some people fill with joy. It makes other people want to hide in caves. Other people want to hide at the bottom of the ocean. And Amos 9 says, even if you try and hide from me at the bottom of the ocean, I will send the sea serpent to bite you down there and bring you to the surface. And if you try and hide in the temple, I would come with my sword and I would hack away and break down, cut down the temple. Why? Because my love is reaching toward you. It sounds scary in Amos chapter 9. Read it this week. But it's God moving towards people to restore them. And here's the good news, that you can always experience God's presence. If you move away from those things that cause you to not hear God's presence and experience God's presence, and if you move towards these things that we've encountered here that help us experience God's presence. And so do more of those things that help you experience God's presence. The more you do that, the more you will experience. And stay away from those things that cause you to not experience God. Addictions, friends that would influence us away, trying to conform to the expectations of others. Sometimes parents can cause you to wander away from God. What is it that does that? Stay away from that. Next Sunday morning, we just may have another experience, and this time of the power of God. Because we see lives, communities, society transformed through discipleship in the Word, through the presence of God as we experience today. And wait for it, for the power of God.